2020 Fresh. Triple M, Dead Set Legends. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolden, Wendell Saylor. Saturday Fever.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends. Welcome to the second hour. Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton, Wendell Saylor. We do it thanks to our mates at LDV. See the great offers on the T60 dual cab ute at ldvautomotive.com.au and our great mates at Paddy's. Again, thanks for sticking by us, guys. We really very much appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Now, I just want to say, you get your heckles up every time Hugh Jackman gets brought up.
Oh, here we go.
Suddenly, you puff up like a peacock and you just sort of do like this and that.
Okay, so Del comes out and starts talking about, Hugh Jackman, I suppose he's a pretty good entertainer. Okay, mate. Who is literally a rock star when it comes to... He's a movie star, right?
Yes.
He hosts the Oscars. Yeah. He is actually like Wolverine, so he's actually like a superhero as well. He's good looking. He's a nice bloke. He can sing and dance. He can hold up a Broadway musical by himself. So who else in the world can do that? Ever? Who's ever been able to do that?
Yeah, that's true. But he's a friend of yours. Why is he a friend of yours?
Wow.
No, I just want to know.
Okay. Last week, talking about singers. Last week, if you missed it, this is Del singing with our great mates at Paddy's.
No. Come on, Wendell. One more.
Brothers, sisters, mums and daddies. You haven't been to Muppets till you've been to Paddy's.
I don't think you come from a position to pot one of the greatest entertainers of all time when you're singing like that.
Yeah, look, I must admit, that's work in progress.
That was the track you laid out.
Yeah, you did your work in progress. The producer went, are you happy with that? Yeah. And then you said yes to this.
One more.
Brothers, sisters, mums and daddies. You haven't been to Muppets till you've been to Paddy's.
Wow.
To be honest, that's not as bad as you think, guys.
Okay, I'm listening to the Rush Hour 2 weeks ago, and I'm just driving along, and I need to drive off the road. Have a listen to this, Jude.
TV show, I'd have to say Home and Away. I love Home and Away.
Struth.
You don't understand. I love Home and Away. I'm not embarrassed to say it.
What do you mean you're taking Home and Away?
I love Home and Away. I'm telling you, even last night, I met Ray Maher at a promo once, and I called him Elf.
I feel like you would have been a shot for a cameo.
Yeah, mate, I can't believe I haven't been. Surely.
Are you serious, brother?
I've got no problems with that. I do love Home and Away. And I've said it for years in and around here.
I had to do a cameo one time. We did a cross promotional thing. It was Channel 7 and Home Away and the footy. And we had to film at the SCG. And we walked on as ourselves onto Home and Away.
Oh.
And
we
had to have a kick on the SCG. And we were all pretending that we were just hopeless. Like they go, you just don't kick it to the actor because he can't kick. And we're all just pretending we couldn't kick and we're fumbling.
Well, for some
of
the Swan Squad, it wouldn't have been much of a worry. Dead Set Legend, second hour coming up.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Next guest was the fastest man in Australia for 4 years.
Matt Shervington, he's in the final.
Where at one point he ran the Commonwealth Games 100 metres final in 10.03 seconds.
There's our boy though, Matt Shervington.
Missing out on a gold medal by 0.1 of a second, which is really fast.
Golden boy of Australian sprinting.
Also, he represented Australia in the Sydney Olympics in the 100 and 200 metres.
Away!
Off the bench, please welcome Dead Set Legend.
Oh my God, it's awesome.
Matt Shervo Shervington.
Shervo, great to have you on, mate. As you know, the Olympics have been postponed to 2021. How do you feel?
Mate, disappointed, obviously, that it's not going ahead as planned, but relief. Relief for the athletes because it was undecided for so long. They were really in a holding pattern. Many of the athletes hadn't had the ability to compete at their trials, so they weren't sure if they needed to fast-track their qualification. They weren't sure what sort of preparation they were going to get. They had competitions being cancelled in the lead-up. They weren't able to get outside and get to their training facilities as normal. So there was a lot of angst and concern about whether or not, if it did go ahead, how well they could prepare for it and what sort of shape they could get in. So I think relief for the athletes now that they've got a bit more time up their sleeves. But obviously everyone wanted to see Tokyo 2020 be in 2020, but the fact is it's going to go ahead in 2021. So that's a good thing too, because if you had it just canned it, outright, I think that would have been even bigger disappointment.
Yeah.
Shervo, Del touched upon it. You've had time at the Dragons. I remember you training the Swans at different stages. If there was one athlete in a cross code who could actually represent you know, in the athletics, I mean, you're a semi-finalist that in the 100 at Sydney Olympics. Who would be that one athlete? Is it Josh Adokar? Is it, you know, was it a Lewis Jetta?
Oh, Hotel wants you to say
no,
him.
No, yeah, really him. No,
who would be that one athlete really who could actually make a transition into the athletics?
Yeah, that's that. I love this question. I really do. And I, as you said, I've been really, really blessed to be in front of the best players and work with them in their speed. And even you, Jude, I mean, I was at the Swannies for 5 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
He wasn't very fast.
I wasn't fast. Exactly.
Yeah, but what about you and I going on more... You and I morning runs in London and when we're in India together.
Gus, this is not about you, mate. Come on. Sorry, you go,
mate, I'm just going to stop you there because at the end of this, I'm going to tell you a story about Gus and I in Old Delhi City on a tandem bike.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. I'm with you. I'm with you. There are some brilliant track and field... footy players that could have been track and field athletes, without a doubt. Josh Adokar right now, I believe, is the fastest 100-metre runner in the game of NRL, possibly in any footy code right now.
Wow, that's nice.
But outside of that, and you'll understand this, Jude, too, is I remember watching Gary Rowan when he was at the Swannies doing a rehabilitation program, and he was running rep 300s around the SCG. I believe he could have been a 400-metre runner, without a doubt. He was fast. He had the endurance to last the distance and just had a really nice technique. Unfortunately, he was rehabilitating from these horrible ankle injuries that he had, and it's kind of it's definitely affected him, I think, going forward. But there's some great athletes in the game. The other one is James Roberts at the Bunnies. I mean, over 40 metres is I don't think there's anyone faster than him.
Beautiful.
Oh, except for maybe Damien Cook.
Yeah, he's good. Well, that's enough. We haven't got enough time, Shervo, to do anything else.
Yeah,
mate.
Come on.
Tell us this story.
You know, I've done some weird things in my time. I've done some weird things.
Don't tell
them
about that night, mate.
In the top five is you and I on a tandem bike riding through the streets of Old Delhi, almost being hit by cars. But you get a little cranky. You do. You get a little cranky. But you were at your crankiest this day. Why was it? Because we almost ran into the back of the minivan. Is that right?
Yeah, that was right. But that was I put my hand up. I nearly put Shervo through the back of this minivan, which was our crew who were filming us as we were in this tandem, right? But I got some really momentum up and I was so excited. So Shervo's going, slow down, Gussie. Slow down. I go, no, we'll get right up. And of course, they had hit the brakes because in India, it's bloody Rafferty's rules, right?
Yeah.
So poor Shervo's piled off the bike over the van and sort of got him. Oh, mate, I thought I killed him.
Who chose the tandem bike?
Me. Well, some stupid producer.
Oh,
Foxtel.
I'm going to call you out one more time, guys.
Please do.
Boys, every time I see Gus, he goes, oh, mate, we've got to get you on the show. And it has taken the world sport to be shut down. Every sport in the world to be shut down for you to finally go, let's get Shervo on.
I love you, Shervo. Thank you, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers, Shervo.
Good stuff, love you, boys. See ya.
Dead set legends.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends, Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. And don't forget to subscribe to the Dead Set Legends podcast on the Triple M app to listen anytime at triplem.com.au. We've never had more uncertainty around the game of rugby league, Del. And want to ask you this because the last time was like this, it was around Super League. And you were one of the players, you're on the wing for Australia at the time playing for the Broncos. Where were you career-wise and money-wise when Super League hit? And a week later, once everything, the dust was settling, where were you?
Well, I was very lucky too, because 93 I came in, that was my first year, and I played, I think, 3 first grade games. And then 94 was probably my sort of breakout year. I think I played about 20, 21 games. And then I'd rotate between Mick Hancock and Willie Khan because of a few injuries, and we had a pretty fair squad. Anyway, so I was lucky enough to go on that Kangaroo tour because Willie Khan was injured. Bob Fulton was a massive fan. There was a young Steve Menzies and myself. So we went on the Kangaroo tour, you know, so there was him and then Jimmy Sedaris and guys like that, so Jason Smith, so that put me in good stead. 95, there's a bit of talk about Super League coming around. I think I'd re-signed for 2 or 3 more years, not on massive money because they had all the big dogs, but it was still about learning, I suppose. So I ended up signing with the Broncos for a couple of years, but my manager at the time, Barry Collins, said, look, if this Super League comes in, John Rebo, this is what Dell will get, blah, blah, blah. So... signed off on that, sure enough, overnight, like, you know, like it did, just went bang. My manager rings me, goes, mate, just to let you know, I've got a check for you, and you're on $300,000 for the first year, $300,000 the second year, $350,000 the third year.
What were you on before?
$75,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you went 75 to 300, 300, 350, yeah. And the check. What was the check?
$100,000.
Yeah. What did you do with a $100,000 check?
Bought mum and dad a house and a car at the time. For me, because they'd done a lot, and we did it tough as a family, like, and they, yeah. You know, because they're the ones who drive you. So that was that. But you know what was funny is, so we all agreed with that, and the Broncos were at the forefront of the Super League. Everyone just said,
yeah,
you know,
they needed the Broncos, didn't they? Yeah. But at the time, the ARL wanted it.
Yes. Yeah. So obviously there was players who'd signed both who double dipped. So we got to call the manager. Goes,
you're not allowed to double dip.
No, you're not. But we're rugby league.
So these checks were getting thrown around. So yeah. Take the checks from both.
Well, remember Dean Pay and Jimmy Dimmick. Remember Jimmy Dimmick and Jimmy James. Who was it? Smithy. Jason Smith.
They went from Parramatta to the Dogs.
Parramatta. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the Dogs. So they sort of. They're in between. So anyway, so we got this call, and we're locked in with that, and we're fine with that. Then we got a call saying, hey, listen, the ARL want to talk to you guys too. And we said, well, we can't. We've locked in. And I signed because, mate, the Broncos give me an opportunity.
So
and
who was going to talk to you from the ARL? Was it James Packer?
No. So we got a call. So we went to the airport. This was a couple of days later. So the manager goes, look, just go and listen to them and see what they got to say. So I did the right thing because...
No, the right thing would have been said, no, I've signed with the Broncos and I've cashed your $100,000 check.
Hey, listen.
I've been in both camps.
Wow.
It was crazy time. So listen. So as I jump in the car to drive there, a manager goes, just listen to what they got to say. So Steve Randolph and Willie Carn and all these guys, Mick Hancock, they went. Alan Langer didn't go because Alan Langer was like, he was one of the top Super League, you know, highest paid. So yeah. He wasn't moving. He wasn't going anywhere. And so we got there. As you walk in, everyone's getting, having a talk. As I walk in.
Whereabouts in the airport, like in the lounge or something?
In a private room. So as we walk in, you walk in. And I'd never really met Phil Gould before, even though you knew who Phil Gould was.
Yeah.
There was Gus Gould. And then there was James Packer. Oh. So they were like, so, mate, I'm still like, don't forget, I'm not that old myself, and I know what I signed. So they sat down, and then Gus said, this is the way that we see you. I said, oh, look, to be honest, I've signed. I just came to listen to what you're going to say. And
did they put an offer on the table?
Yeah, they did.
What did they
offer? So he said, look, Bob Fulton's got a massive rap on you. I know that you're the Broncos now. If there's a club that you'd like to go to, we can organise that. And I said, oh, but I've already taken the check and this. And he said, no, our lawyers will pick up the tab. So this is what we'll do for you. You give us your bank account. We'll put $500,000 in your bank account in the next couple of days.
What?
The first year you'll go $500,000, second $500,000, and the third year $550,000. That's what he said. And I'm sitting there going like, what? How can I go from, I was on $75,000 about like 4 days ago. But Ooh. You know what? Because I'm loyal and I did the right thing when I left there, made the right decision, stuck with the Broncos.
What club would you have joined if you had gone to the ARL back in the day away from Super League?
As a kid, always loved Manly because of Cliffy Lyons, Michael O'Connor, Steve Menzies were at that club. If I would have
your mates
left,
with
so
him.
They were dominating them, weren't
they? Yeah, they were premiers too.
No, but
good one.
Gus Wallen.
Just dynamite.
Jude Bolden. Wendell Saylor.
I'll put my hand up now.
The Triple M. Dead Set Legends.
Corden has dropped down. Played the cook. Throws to Murray. Murray then sends it on to Pierce, who didn't really want it. Gives it to Tom Trbojevic. Out to Ferguson. Runs down the sideline. He's ankle tapped, but he stands his ground. Throws it infield to Nesta. 15 out. Pinky in.
Come on. How good is that? Some of the NRL's biggest rivalries will also be relived each Saturday afternoon on Triple M. Great call by Dan Ganane and the boys there from 3 to 5 p.m. starting with Game 3 of the 2019 State of Origin Series. That game is going to be replayed from 3 o'clock, but that's what we're going to do once we're in this period of no live sport,
guys. We've got your isolation sorted, surely.
Exactly right. It's going to be fantastic. Now, before I give you the greatest game that I ever watched, boys, I'd love to hear from you guys. And we'd love to hear from everyone on 133353. What's the greatest game that you ever played in, Jude?
Oh, look, I'd have to say the 2012 grand final was probably the pinnacle, but one that just jumps to mind is an incredible game was playing against Geelong down in Geelong. They'd won 29 in a row at home And we went down and we even opened up the newspaper in the morning. It said 30 in a row. And we went, we haven't even played them yet. Hang on. Like,
yeah.
And there was a lot of emotion around the, that week because, you know, Jared McVeigh and his lovely wife had laid to rest their baby and things like that. And we knew that they were watching at home. And we had an incredible emotional win. And I just remember just having the chills on the ground and being with your mates and that sort of stuff against – entire Geelong crowd, and it was just an epic game.
That's
epic
beautiful,
game.
Jude. What about you, Dale? What's the greatest game that you ever played in?
Look, I think probably the 98 Origin first game, we were going New South Wales down here. They had a gun side once again, but then we rallied as we do as Queenslanders with 6 minutes to go. I think we scored a couple of tries. I don't know. Kevy Walters did his magic. Short ball, Tony Carroll right near the post, and then Lockie kicks the goal. We win that. That for me, that's what Origin's about. But I have to say, also, the 2003 World Cup, where England got us.
In the rugby union.
Yeah, rugby union. Because I'm a Jew, I thought I'd give you two.
because you are a Jew, you're allowed to give us two.
But that was hard.
But that's one of the saddest games of rugby of ever for an Australian fan.
It is sad, but because it went into, you know, went into extra time and that, and it was, and only Johnny could kick that, you know.
Oh, he was so good. Best player on the planet.
Were you there that night, Guzzy?
I sure was, big fella. Next to my English wife and all her mates.
How'd you go that night?
Not great. Not great. She had a good time. I had to turn her down again. Give us a call on 1-333-5. What we'd like from you now is the greatest game that you've ever watched. This is mine.
Jake Friend is going to run it over the sideline. They're chasing him. He's daring them to come at him. And now he gets over the sideline, hurls the ball into the crowd, and the Eastern Suburbs Roosters are champions again.
Yeah, champions again. That was the first with Cronky. Obviously, we got two in a row there. What a wonderful player for us, now a life member of the club. But for me, just watching him and the way that he went about his business that night, he had the broken shoulder, Cronk, and, you know, we only had 12 players on the field most of the time, and he did an amazing job. So give us a call on 1-333-53. We'll take your calls after this. What's the greatest game that you've ever seen?
Another Sydney Saturday morning. Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, it's the Dead Set Legends. Gus Wall and Jude Bolton and Wendell Saylor. We're doing it for LDV. Check out the T60 dual cab utes at ldvautomotive.com.au. And we're talking about the greatest game that you ever saw. And let's start the ball rolling before we get to our callers with you, Jude.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the one. In 2010, it was Sydney Roosters versus West Tigers in the qualifying final. It's the first ever game to go into Golden Point in the postseason. And, you know, Lottie Takiri, Bo Ryan, those sort of guys. Benji Marshall were just on fire. Robbie Farah, they took it out to 15-2. The lead, and then on the back of Todd Carney and a few of the Roosters blokes, they just ripped in, and then this happened after the sign.
On the 30-metre line, they've got to take it. They've got to take it soon. Pierce to the 30. They run for a try now. It's come down to Graham. Back to the middle. It's found Minicello. A long-range shot from Anasta.
He's got it!
Oh, what a kick! He got a kick! Anasta has nailed it!
Great call for Raps as well. Incredible.
And then of course, in Golden Point, and then Sean Kennedy-Dowell, like SKD, just intercept try the whole way.
Happy days. That
unbelievable.
Was great. Now let's go to some callers. Troy and Toon Gabby, what's the greatest game that you ever watched, Troy?
G'day, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Cast back a few years, 1981, last game ever played at Cumberland Oval, Manly versus Parramatta, 20-all.
And that was a great rivalry back in the day too, Troy. Thank you. What about Ryan? G'day, Ryan. What's the greatest game you ever watched, brother?
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good.
Good, Ryan.
That's the way. Round one, 2009, St. George Storm. Big Dell was a part of it.
Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah.
What did you do in that game?
No, we're down there in Melbourne in those conditions. Oh, well, let Troy tell the story.
It's Ryan. G'day, Ryan. What do you reckon, Ryan?
The last 10 minutes, mate. Oh, Big Dell down the sideline caught it. I think it was Cooper Cronk or someone's kicked it. Big Dell come down the sideline. He's around about, 70 metres, Dell?
Yeah, I got a bit tired, didn't I? Cooper was inside me. So I just passed it back into side. And then Jamie Sauer just kicked that goal. We've gone into Golden Point.
And what happened?
Unfortunately for us, there was a guy called Greg Inglis. He sits there, just pots it with ease.
Too good. Yeah. Okay, what about Lenny? G'day, Lenny. What's the greatest game you ever watched, brother?
2002, Roosters beating the Warriors, grand final. Yeah.
So good. That game was in the balance until the last 20 minutes, and then
Freddie Filler had his head taken off, and then the Roosters just rallied.
Exactly. Villasani. It's the wrong thing to do.
And
What about you? What about you, Daryl? What's the greatest game that you ever watched?
Oh, look, I've got to say, being a, not just because I'm a Queensland boy, but being a North Queenslander, watching North Queensland play the Broncos in 2015, we did the game for Triple M, and at different stages, you know, you just thought the Broncos had done enough to win it, and then at the end there was a play to get them to that extra time there, unbelievable flick pass from Michael Morgan, who'd done it numerous times. Listen to this.
Here he comes, Donovan from Thursday. Starts it right. It's low. Hits the post. No. Golden point.
Oh.
It was a missed kick, which angled towards the right upright. It smashed into the steel and bounced away.
Another great call by Dan and the boys. I'm sure he nails those big moments so well, Dan.
Yeah.
So, of course, that was the conversion of the try. It took it to extra point. The kickoff happens. Ben Hunt drops the ball. We know the rest from here.
Unbelievable story,
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper.
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M. Dead. Set. Legends. Legends.
We've been with you for about 5 days now filming this documentary. Can you tell us categorically, Ben, have you used drugs in this time?
No. No, but it's it's something that
But it's a pretty simple question, Ben. Have you used drugs, yes or no, in the 5 days that we've been doing this together?
No. Well, when you know, but you know, I no.
Yeah, that's a new documentary going on Channel 7 tomorrow night. It's going to be an absolute ripper, all about Ben Cousins. And as I said, it's going to be on Channel 7 tomorrow night. Basil Zemplis is on the line. He is the doco maker, and great for you to join us, Basil. What was it like just to be so face-to-face with Ben? Do you feel like you got the real man?
Good on you, guys. Yeah, nice to chat. Look, Ben's a complex person, and this is a complex issue. We're with him for about 7 days in the end. And look, the 7 days that we spent with him, I think, are probably indicative of any Australian who's going through a battle like Ben is. You get some glimpses of magic and a great personality, great charisma that we always knew in the AFL world. And you get some moments where it's pretty low and pretty dark and pretty tough. And I think I saw, and we'll see tomorrow night, what most Australians dealing with anyone who's got drug issues get to see on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis.
Baz, it's Jude. I mean, you've seen the demise of Ben. And is there a sense over in the West that we almost set him up for this sense of infallibility over there, because he was bigger than everything over in the West, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was the Don Bradman of WA, and he was the main man, a Brownlow medalist, captain of the West Coast Eagles, best looking bloke in town. He had everything, but at the same time, he had the same choices that a lot of his teammates, a lot of people in society, a lot of everybody else had as well. And for whatever reason, he went down a path that that got him into a lot of trouble and ultimately ended his career, ruined his reputation, and in many ways has ruined his life. He's been to jail twice in the last 3 years. He spent two of the last 3 years in jail. He doesn't see his kids as regularly as he would like. His relationship with his family, who are beautiful people, is very, very strained. So, I mean, it's a tough journey for Ben. He's in the fight. He wants to get better. He wants to be better at all the areas that he's not as good as he could be at, but it's not an easy battle.
Hey, Basil, Wendell Sally, I remember in 2006 and, you know, watching the Swans and obviously West Coast, and they had that midfield, Kerr, Cousins, Judd. Do you reckon that premiership's tainted now? I know a lot of Swans fans have, you know, around that time, they're going, oh, well, these guys, after what's happened, what's your thoughts on that?
I remember that midfield because I remember a bloke by the name of Jude Bolton running after them, trying to
just a hack, just a hack trying to chase after him. Yeah.
Look at that bloke from Sydney. He's no hope, we used to say. Look, that was a long time ago. Ben Cousins was using drugs on occasion during that period, specifically when, we don't know. He wasn't using them grand final week, we know that. He was tested through all of that period and never returned a positive test. So there are question marks from that era. But tomorrow night's program is not really about then. Okay. It's about the 10 years since he made that very public documentary and spent this time in jail, is estranged from his family and doesn't see his kids. It's about all of that, if you like, and glamour's not the right word, but that was a glamorous time in Ben Cousins' life. That, yeah. Now it's reality.
The documentary on Seven tomorrow night, how explosive is it going to be? Because we heard from that question to him, and you can see the way he sort of deviated around that direct question from you. How do you see people, obviously receiving this documentary tomorrow night?
Yeah, well, look, it hits you between the eyes. That's what it does. Nothing's been left out. Nothing's been deliberately inserted to make him look better than he is or anything else. It is real. It's pretty confronting. He talks about watching the West Coast Eagles 2018 Premiership from jail. He talks about being the Garbo in jail and how proud he was that he got a job being the Garbo in jail. This is a bloke that had the world at his feet. So it's not sugar-coated.
Yep.
It's raw, but it's no different to the battle that a lot of Australians are going through. And if showing us how someone so famous can fall so far, if that can help an Australian family this weekend, well, so be it. But Ben's struggle continues. He's up for the fight. He's trying his hardest. But he hasn't won the battle yet, and the battle continues.
Basil, thanks so much for joining us, mate. Ben Cousins, Coming Clean, airs tomorrow night, 8 p.m. on Channel 7. Really appreciate you joining us on the Dead Set Legends.
Good on you guys, and let me know if that Jude Bolton catches any of that West Coast midfield.
Love to aim you, mate. We know you're back.
Another Sydney Saturday morning.
Oh, you ripper!
Now around the track for another lap.
Absolutely brilliant.
The Triple M Dead Set Legends.
Yeah, the Dead Set Legends, Gus Wallen, Jude Bolton and Wendell Sutter. We do the show thanks to our mates at LDV. Check out the T60 dual cab utes at ldvautomotive.com.au. And a big shout out again to LDV and Paddy's for sticking with us with no live sport.
Yep.
They could have pulled the pin, but they're right behind us here. So
sensational.
We really appreciate that. Now, a lot of people have been giving us lots of instructions on how to wash our hands and to look after ourselves when we're in isolation. This is one from a bloke who sings an Oasis.
Today's gonna be the day that they're gonna fall back to you. By now you should have somehow realised what you got to do. Wash your hands, scrub your toes, scratch your ass and pick your nose. Come on, you know.
Liam Gallagher.
Oh, Liam.
Lots of people have been doing lots of different stuff, but you want to do a shout out to some people
that
are on the front line of this virus.
Yeah, we know. Well, the health and services people, doctors and nurses and all that doing a great job, even the police officers. But even I was absolutely shattered to hear that nurses, when they finish work, they go to the supermarkets and they begin to be abused by people.
Why?
During the week, because they're thinking they could be doing more, and obviously what's happening, they're trying to blame the nurses and that, and the doctors.
Wow.
So they've been told to change out of their uniforms when they go to the shops and stuff.
We're just going
to
be holding this together, aren't we?
We are.
Just be patient with everyone and help each other out.
It's gone a little bit ugly, hasn't it? With all the good stuff that's come around community, looking after your village and stuff, there are some people out there that are just straight up not good people.
That's right.
And they're racist people and stuff, and just absolutely giving it to people that don't look like them, saying it's all their fault.
Yeah, Donald Trump, he hasn't helped.
Trumpy.
Yeah, Trumpy. Pull your head in, son.
We'll send that to him.
Yeah.
But, boys, a big shout-out again to all our listeners. Thanks for sticking with us. The podcast, of course, is out there. It's growing in numbers every single week. We really, really appreciate your support. This is a time for us all to stick together.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a great... Maroon's just walked in.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, excuse us. We've got... Mate,
oi,
we've
so
got another
scrum.
8 seconds, Maroon.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Relax.
Dead Set Legends.
Seconds.
Bye-bye.
Gus Wallet.
Just dynamite.
Jude Bolden. Wendell Saylor.
I'll put my hand up now.
The Triple M. Dead Set Legends.